This is Profit from the Inside with Joel Block. Insights to give your business the inside track. And now, here's your host, Joel Block.
If you're like every other CEO or an executive in the country, you must wonder, how do we gain market share in an increasingly complex and competitive environment? To address that question for us, Mike Miedler. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Joel. Thanks for having me on today.
Now, listen, what people need to know, first of all, is that you are tremendously accomplished. You're the CEO of Century 21. I mean, and you've got 140,000 people running around selling real estate all over the world, right?
We do. I like to refer to us as the only truly global residential real estate firm on the planet. Believe it or not, it changes so frequently, Joel. It's about 147,000 sales professionals in 85 countries on almost every continent except one.
Well, I can't imagine what managing this. This isn't even like a workforce. You're not managing like a workforce. I mean, these are all independent organizations. Each person is like an independent person, right? They're their own business.
Exactly. I mean, most folks throughout. Okay, so in the U.S., yes, most folks are here. They're 1099 independent contractors. It's the real estate industry. You know, they come to work when they want to come to work. They do how they want to do, and they serve how they want to serve for the most part. And we'll talk about that in Century 21's respect, because we have a specific mission that we're on, and we'd like our independent associates to buy into. That said, there's countries around the globe, like in Europe or even Asia, as an example, where they make a small salary and they're actually employees, and it allows them to control the process a little bit more. But it's definitely an interesting world, and in no two markets around this globe, or even literally in this country, is real estate practiced the same way. So it is definitely like herding cats and trying to keep it all together, as you and I were discussing on the
show. Well, it's a local business. I mean, real estate is a local business. Local attorneys, I mean, it's totally driven by each state. All 50 states have their own way of doing it. So let's focus on the United States of America, just because unless you want to talk about anything global, that's fine. So what's the state of real estate? I mean, the state of real estate brokerage, let's say, because that's kind of where you operate. I mean, you're one of the representatives of the largest brokerage firms in the country. I mean, so, what's it like now? What's happening?
Yes, sir. No, look, I mean, Joel, think about this. When we were in mid-March and the world was, just kind of on its heels because of this pandemic, we, like many other industries across this country and around the globe, were suffering. We didn't know what to do. Everybody was in kind of like wait and see and scramble mode. And, for the first couple months, March, April, May, in some states, they were considered non-essential. We couldn't even go to work, couldn't open up offices. In other states, we were still kind of cranking away and trying to figure out how to transact real estate in a safe manner. But, in the last literally 6 or 7 months, after June and now even up till today, which is generally a slow time of year in the real estate industry because of the holidays, I mean, we have just been on fire. Across the country, we're up to and are on pace for about 6.85 million homes sold around the U.S., which is, the highest on record the second all-time on record, and only to 2005 when, if you can remember what was happening in the real estate world in 2005. So it's been an extraordinary year. Our biggest prop.
So just to recap, in 2005, it was on fire because that's when all the subprime lending was crazy and anybody could get a loan anytime they wanted, right? And interest rates are incredibly low again, and that's fueling a lot of this.
It's like generational lows. I think, Fannie and Freddie started keeping track of this thing back in the 70s, and it's never been lower. So, it's putting an extraordinary amount of buying power into people's pockets. And we see, 90 million millennials who are now getting into the space, call it 6, 9, 10 months ago, a year ago, they were renting in New York City, Boston, San Fran, LA. And now they're saying, holy cow, like, I need more space for myself. I need, I want to get out to suburban or rural marketplaces. And it's really set the industry on fire across the country.
Well, there's a couple of trends that are kind of in your favor. One, the work from home phenomenon. There's a couple things about it. Number one is people are moving away from urban to suburban. But if you're going to have an office in your house, you need a bigger house. So, a lot of people need to move because they don't want their dining room table to be their office. And they kind of see this lasting a while, more than just the period of the pandemic. I mean, like, they see this lasting like forever, that they're going to be working out of their house because they kind of like it.
Yeah, Joel, I'll just give you an inside scoop for us. So Century 21 is part of a larger organization, part of a company called Realogy. We're a Fortune 500 company. We have 280,000 square feet in Madison, New Jersey, which is right on the train line. It's next to the New York Jets corporate headquarters in Madison, a suburb out in New Jersey here. And, you know, we're shrinking our workforce. I mean, we have folks who are saying to themselves, like, I can be more effective, more efficient, get more done, have a better quality of life. And, you know, because of that, we're literally seeing across the country, 1 in 3 people are either teleworking or doing some form of at-home work, when that number was 1 in 20 a year ago, right? And so because of that, you've seen 9 million people in the U.S. relocate their residence. And whether it's they're picking up and moving long ways, call it to from New Jersey to Florida, or, you know, out of the cities and onto a further part out in the train line so they could get more property and less taxes. I mean, it's a phenomenon, like you said, that everything's cyclical. I know we're social animals and we're going to want that personal interaction, but I think it's something here to say. So instead of commuting into New York City 5 days a week on an hour long train ride, maybe now I'm only going to do it 2 days a week and go and move out 2 hours and be able to bear that commute. So I do think it's a phenomenon. I don't know that our workforce will ever work the same that we did call it a year ago.
I don't think so either. And I can only imagine, this isn't the topic for today, but imagine if only 2 out of 5 days people go to New York City. Imagine the economic impact on New York City, you know, and how many companies are going to give up office space and reduce from 50 floors to 3 or 4 floors or whatever. And what's going to happen to the subways and who's going to pay the taxes? And I don't think cities are thinking about these things, but that's a discussion for a different day. So,
and look, I mean, you're right. And New York City and San Fran, I mean, these are the greatest cities in the world. There's culture, there's history, there's things that humans just want and need. And those cities will all come back. But, you know, for the short term, it's going to be interesting to see what shakes out.
But they're not going to come back the same. That's the thing, is that I even think that a lot of the skyscrapers in New York City are going to be converted partially into residential, because I don't think that the commercial requirement is going to be there. And then you're, you know, again, there's another opportunity for you.
So I know you're a real estate guy. We could probably talk this all day, but I think that's absolutely some of the need that we have out there. In fact, we're seeing it. I just heard in Rhode Island, there was a huge mall that's just converted itself to a condo complex, right? Because, you know, first of all, we don't have enough residential homes for the amount of population and household formations that we're going to have over the next 10 and 20 years. That's a problem in and of itself. And to your point, I think you're going to see a lot of people get creative in what real estate is already out there and turning them into dwellings and places that people can live.
Well, interestingly enough, on the West Coast, some of these defunct shopping malls, because shopping malls are kind of going away, they're being bought up by Google, you know, and some of these large companies that want to have office space in places like Los Angeles. So they're buying the most primo deals in these, you know, shopping malls that just aren't working anymore. And they're putting, you know, millions and millions into them, and they're turning them around. So very cool. I want to ask another question. You said that your headquarters, and I want to talk about that in a minute too, but your headquarters is reducing in size because the workforce is changing. This was a trend that started in the residential real estate business at the office level. The offices started, you know, shrinking. People stopped coming in and they just started doing their closings at title companies. I mean, how are offices doing? Are they giving up a lot of their space and shedding some of their overhead?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for me, I travel in and around office, real estate offices, you know, literally for a living, except for the last like 9 or 10 months, right? And, you know, one thing that is absolutely true is that real estate professionals are more out on the road. They're in the Starbucks, they're at the kitchen table, and they're using office spaces less and less. And now that's a little bit different with you know, specific cultures where you have hard prospecting companies and you see a lot of, you know, physical space and people showing up and wanting those offices. But, you know, that footprint is starting to shrink, and, you know, people are really rethinking the way that they need an office in a retail center or in the middle of a city, and looking at how they service their customers better with, you know, maybe more of a smaller footprint. and a coffee bar type 1,000 square foot office versus the 5-10,000 square foot offices with private space that we've seen before. So yeah, it's a phenomenon in real estate that has really been happening over the last 5 or 10 years. And I think the more and more we get mobile, right, especially now where we've learned to do things over Zoom and meet with our clients, on FaceTime and mobily, I think the office space from a real estate brokerage perspective is really going to shrink down over the years ahead.
Yeah. Well, listen, I run a mastermind group of hedge fund managers. And what I've been advising all of these guys is, number one, that assets are going on sale in 2021. And that's mostly commercial type of assets. I think there's going to be a giant ownership shuffle in corporate America across the board, just because companies can't hang on. But I also think residential real estate is going to do very well. I just think that people are going to be moving. They're going to be, and brokers are always in the middle. And I don't care how great the technology is. People always need brokers. They just do. They always need a person to talk to, a shoulder to cry on, a second opinion that just cannot be accomplished by computers. So let's talk about what's going on in the technology sector, because there's a lot of technology deals happening in your world. You think that the National Association of Realtors is going to hang on to their monopoly over the multiple listing services?
So here's the thing, right? Multiple listing services, there's, gosh, hundreds out there. And I think as you see the MLS world kind of start condensing, really NAR doesn't have much to do with the MLSs. They're all independently owned and operated out there. And what happens is that first, I think you make a great point about technology, right? There has been billions of dollars that have entered the real estate community, specifically the residential real estate community, because they see, $85-90 billion in commission volumes trading hands every year around this country. And they're all trying to figure out, how do we get our slice of the pie? But I think you made a very good observation, is that, no matter where you're at in the country, things are different in every local market. In fact, in Southern California, you transact real estate and close out a deal completely different than you do in Northern California. And the same is true in New Jersey, where we're considered what they call an attorney state, right? It has to go through an attorney process here in New Jersey in order for a real property to get closed out and handed over. And that's different everywhere. I always say this, there's about 180 different steps from the time somebody goes online, views their property, winds up making an offer, to the time they actually close and get the keys to a house. And to your point, you need that real estate professional who knows the market inside and out, who knows the nuances of the local marketplace and who the players are, to kind of be the quarterback, to get all those different parties, the escrow company, the title company, the appraiser, the attorney, the mortgage company, whoever it is, into line, so that we can actually go out and deliver that dream of home ownership and hand those keys over. So, to me, the value of a real estate professional who's very well educated and knows their marketplace has exponentially increased, specifically in this market. And Joel, I'll tell you about this. One of the big tech phenomenons inside of real estate over the last, call it 2 years, it's been the iBuying stuff, right? We're going to buy your property sight unseen, and we're going to give you, market value, and all you got to do is sign the paperwork and here's your money. And as soon as this pandemic hit, when you would think that consumers would want that because they want a safe alternative to close on property without 100 people marching through their home in an open house, that option and that opportunity went away. So, I do think this is absolutely a belly-to-belly business. You need a professional who's going to, be your marriage counselor and your contractor and your mover. And like you said, your second opinion along the way, because it's literally the largest investment that most people in the United States make. So, it needs that professional guidance.
Yeah. So because there's so much money at stake and there's constantly new companies coming in, how are you guys, we asked the question about market share. How are you guys, either maintaining or expanding your market share? Because, every one of these technology companies wants to take a bite out of the apple. You got eXp, which is like a cloud-based deal. They want to take a bite out of the apple. I mean, and they seem like they were doing pretty well before. I don't know about anymore, but there's all these things that keep coming out of the box. I mean, you guys are an old company, and you've managed to survive for a long time. So how are you guys hanging in there and continuing even to grow?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of different entrants. There's a lot of different models that have come in over the last, call it, you know, even 5 years. And, you know, from a market share perspective, I think this business has always been the same, right? At Century 21 is really to deliver an extraordinary experience to our end consumers. And to me, that's the way that you earn repeat and referral business. Because, you know, in this business, that's how folks are found, right? That's how people wind up gaining more deals. That's how they wind up getting their name out. That's how they wind up transacting more businesses. When they do an extraordinary job providing customer service in a transaction, friends and family recommend them, and that, you know, flows throughout. All of our very best performers, they are always the ones who score the highest in our quality service ratings. And they constantly talk about repeat and referral business. And at some point, when you really service the customer and exceed all their expectations, you don't even have to go out and prospect anymore. Like, your business is going to come based on word of mouth and based on referral, because you've been able to deliver that extraordinary experience and defy what I call mediocrity in our industry. Because as you said before, look, there's a lot of different players in the real estate industry that, you know, they're 1099. They do this part-time. They do it as a second career. It's not a complete focus for them. But the ones who really outshine, that kind of 10% who are doing 90% of the business in the market, are the ones who are delivering that extraordinary experience. So to me, market share comes through providing true customer service throughout that journey. And like I said, this is a complex transaction. You got to be really good navigator to take your clients from start to finish. And that's, you know, they see that when the value comes in at the end of the day.
Well, there's no doubt that the inside track for your business, the whole thing, is all about value creation, delivering value, you know, helping people feel comfortable, helping them make good, solid decisions that last for years and years for those people. So if the top people are great at it, and then there's some probably pretty large number of people that are part-time or sometime or whatever they are, how does the corporate entity encourage everybody to deliver better and better quality when you don't control the people, you have influence, but not control? I mean, how does it work for you?
Yeah, I mean, look, I wish we were like Zappos and could say to people, like, you know, if you're not going to follow and abide by our rules and regulations and the way that our mindset works and delivering that extraordinary experience, here's $10,000, you know, go somewhere else. The truth of the matter is that, you know, we espouse from the very top that this is a experience-based business, and we're doing little things along the way. In fact, we have, you know, kind of our commandments called the Brilliant Basics. They're 10 steps that really show our real estate professionals what they need to do day in, day out in order to provide that extraordinary experience along the way. And they're little things. I mean, it's as much as, you know, communicating through the process. One of the top, you know, dissatisfiers in our industry is that, you know, once somebody lists a house or they get into a contract to buy one, they don't hear from their real estate professional. And, you know, that's something that we believe that we can help folks communicate and kind of talk about those 180 steps and where we're at and where we're going and what else needs to happen. And so, you know, we call them our Brilliant Basics, and they're kind of our commandments to live by. But, you know, we for 20 plus years have been measuring quality service through literally surveys that we hand to our customers after we transact a property. And the folks in our organization and the companies who score and are intentional, who score 90% or better on these surveys, do double the amount of transactions that everybody else does. So we know without a shadow of a doubt that if you are intentional about that service along the way and really want to measure it and get that kind of referral or stamp of approval, that you're going to do more business no matter what. And that's what we try to preach and talk to our franchisees and our professionals about every single day.
So you kind of treat that as a carrot. In other words, if you do these things, you're going to do better because you don't have the stick. I mean, there's nothing you can really do. You know, I mean, you can't discipline people. You can't, you know, really, but you can put out, you know, carrots for them to see that there's a way for them to do better if they want to.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's hard. I mean, do you guys have, you know, I mean, a team of people that sit around that just come up with ideas about how to create carrots.
Yeah. About not only about how to create carrots, but how to create experiences. I mean, we talk about it all the time. I mean, we are in an experience-based business and an experience-based world right now. I mean, like I said, millennials more than anyone, you know, before this pandemic, they'd rather spend money going on vacation or out to eat and with their friends and then post that stuff on Instagram or on Facebook. You know, they're not about those material things. And I think that's more and more true as we as a society progress. And you know, we keep telling people, like, you know, you got to celebrate even the little wins. We have a broker who literally at the closing makes like a party out of it. It's almost like you're going through your wedding. He invites their family in, they have champagne, they make a big deal, they hand them over golden keys and really celebrate the occasion. And there's little things along the way that you can really do that makes this an experience. Because I got to tell you, you know, the real estate industry is not specifically known for great service. And I say that because there's so many different people in the process that have the opportunity to really ruin that for the real estate agent, the real estate professional. Like I said, you got, you know, mortgage, title, escrow, all these other factors that come into play. And the real estate professional really has to do a good job managing all that and being there for their client. Because, you know, as you know, it's often not an investment. Often this is where people are, it's their primary residence. It's an emotional buy. It's where they're going to raise their children and have some of their most intimate moments. And, you know, it really gets emotional for people. And you gotta put your arms around that and really be able to deliver.
I think that emotional thing is probably the most important reason for having a broker. You know, and I hope the word broker is not a bad word here, because you know, that's what makes it hard to get great services, because they're perceived as brokers. And brokers, you know, they come, they go, and they do their job and they leave. But in an emotional transaction like this one, having an intermediary, a real estate professional that knows what they're doing, that ultimately gives the family a little nudge. They show them 3, 5, 8, 10 houses. They're paralyzed with fear. They don't know. At some point, the broker has to give them a little nudge and say, you know what, you hired me to help you to do this. It seems like this is the one. Let's, you know, because otherwise, I think a lot of people left to their own devices would probably they'd stall out and I don't know what would happen to them.
Well, Joel, I mean, you know, in this specific marketplace, it's absolutely been the case, and I'll tell you why. You know, we're at 2.5 months of supply of inventory, which is like roughly 1.4 million homes that are for sale right now in the U.S. Generally, that number is at about 6 months supply, right? So, you know, you've got a lot of people. I just talked to one of our brokers in Dallas. He had 100 families march through a property over the weekend. Okay. So think about all these millennials who are coming in, you know, their FHA loans, or they're approved with their 20% down payment. And like, you're getting people who are offering $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $80,000 over asking. And so, you know, they're losing out after 1, 2, 3, 10 properties. And they've got, you know, our brokers, our agents got to keep them emotionally in the game and keep searching, because that the right property will come along. But it's really tough out there, and it's cutthroat. And like you said, the broker's got to take them through that process. I'll give you another example. We literally had a gal who had to marry a couple in April at her office in order for them to qualify for their mortgage and then close on the house that same day, because they couldn't get married like they were supposed to be before that because of the pandemic and churches and all that other stuff. She married them in the office. So like, think about how they're going out of their way and keeping that emotional connection with clients when you go out of your way and do something like that.
it's you know, it's quite amazing. So let's talk about your company for a second. How have you guys managed to celebrate the storied history of your company, but at the same time, modernize and not get hung up on your legacy so you don't become a dinosaur? I mean, how, because this is a hard thing. I mean, how have you innovated, you know, in a very disruptive environment, and it's getting worse? How are you guys, you know, keeping your balance?
Yeah, it's an amazing question. I mean, so you're right. Next year, 2021, it will be our 50th anniversary. We literally were born and raised in Orange County, California, right down the road from you. And we're what I call the first disruptor in this business, right? We went out and we started franchising real estate organizations in every nook and cranny around this country. And we wove together and showed this greater power of this network, and we're able to market and, you know, put on commercials and do big things in local marketplaces that really put Century 21 above and beyond, heads above all the other competition out there. And, you know, over a 50-year span, we've had this amazing customer awareness, right? If you say the name Century 21 in any state around the country, they know you're talking about real estate. And that's the phenomenon that we've built over 50 years. At the same time, to your point, you know, the real estate industry has changed. Margins have compressed. People who have come into our system, you know, they bought a job, I say. They were really agents who wanted a better split. They wanted their name up on the sign. And, you know, so a lot of the companies that we brought in, and from a franchise perspective, we had to say to ourselves, like, either they're going to step up and improve their business and the way that they, you know, kind of serve the consumer, or we're going to have to ask them to step out. Because at the end of the day, the Century 21 brand name is really only as good, as you mentioned earlier, as our local professional and their local agents who fly this flag and carry our business card. And so, you know, we've done a lot of things from a technology front, and really an overall business front, to really try to push people into working on their business versus working in their business. And so, you know, foundationally, we're trying to provide all the technology, the support, and really the tools, training, guidance, and consultation so that people can run a profitable business and grow and give their real estate agents the best toolbox to go out and deliver that extraordinary experience to their customers. Because at the end of the day, if you have happy real estate agents, then you're going to have a happy real estate company. So, you know, that's what our main focus has been. You know, just from a technology standpoint, over this whole COVID pandemic situation, you know, we finally had to figure out how to do online open houses. You know, we figured out, you know, we can't march people in and out of open houses like we used to, serving brownies and coffee. We've put our open house virtually right online, probably the first real estate company to do it. And believe it or not, we've got a ton of traction on it, and people were able to safely view places that they wanted to move into and transact business literally on the phone. So,
I'll tell you, people are raving about these virtual open houses that, you know, and it works for rentals too, not just purchase transactions. They're raving that they don't have to march through 10 or 12 different houses. Guys that own properties, I mean, and I'm talking about more on the investment side, guys that own stuff don't have to do near as much work. They can narrow it down to, you know, from 10 to 2 properties, and then maybe go with the people 2 times and get the job done.
Yeah.
So this efficiency has been extraordinary. But, you know, how do you guys not, you know, get hung up on your history? And, you know, and how are you, do you have a kind of a plan or a system for how you adopt technology or adopt innovation or how you look for things?
Yeah, we do. In fact, you know, one of the things that we've been building behind the scenes for years and have been working on it is in the real estate industry, there's so many different components to what a broker and even an agent uses in their daily life. You mentioned the MLS, right? And it's so fragmented in the real estate industry. In fact, the normal broker in our industry uses anywhere from 6 to 12 different technologies to run their business, whether they be, you know, the MLS, CRMs, closing documentation, you know, QuickBooks to do their accounting.
What about the you got the key system to open the doors? Yeah, right. Isn't that electronic?
Exactly. Right. So you got all these different things that folks are using inside of their real estate brokerage. And then taking a step further, you've got agents who are using different lead systems and different, you know, different CRMs for their own selves, different social media outlets. And so what we're big believers in is that, look, our industry, our professionals, they're all going to like and want something different. And in their local marketplaces, we found out, you know, what works in Paducah doesn't necessarily work in Poughkeepsie, right? Same thing. What works in Calabasas doesn't necessarily work down in Glendale. And so, you know, what we figured out is that we need to have an open architecture system where we provide the main core and the main hub, and then everybody, depending on what they like to use and what their local marketplace has to offer, can plug in and adapt into our overarching system so that everything talks to one another. And we've been building this thing for the last 18 months inside of Realogy and have released it in slow beta tests to some rave reviews. And I think it's really where the industry is headed. A lot of people have tried to build, you know, the A to Z platform. It'll get you from here to here. And I got to tell you, it's really difficult in our world to get 1099 independent contractors to adopt technology that goes from the start to finish and to put all their data into it. So, you know, we've gone a completely different route and we've had some early successes and we're really looking forward to where it's going to take our employees and our agents.
Well, a big part of the problem is that if you have 20 different, things that are built into a A to Z, and you don't like one of them, then you throw the whole basket out because that one doesn't work for you. So, and that's the state, that's not you. That's the state of all technology. That's the reason that every single app costs $20 or $50 or $100. I mean, it's like we're getting $20 to death. And a lot of these things are in excess of $100. And you add up a whole bunch of those and it adds up to be something significant. And everybody's got a bunch of those. So that makes it very tough. How are the other... There are a lot of companies under the Realogy roof. You know, what are some of the other companies and how are they doing?
Yeah, so a lot of our, most of our companies have seen growth. I mean, if you look at Realogy's Q3 release, it's just been amazing in what the real estate industry has done. So we're Century 21. We're Corcoran, which is one of our newest franchises that was started out of New York. We're Sotheby's International. We're Coldwell Banker, ERA, Better Homes and Gardens. And we've got a couple other smaller names that are regionally based. And not only are we a franchise organization, Joel, we also run the largest brokerage in the country. So, you know, when I talk about these tools and these technologies, we have the largest test kitchen in the United States to be able to use these and work with agents and brokers on to see if they're going to work out in the marketplace. And when they do, you know, we kind of release them out to our greater organizations and our franchises. I mean, there's not another real estate company that spends as much as we do on technology and innovation. And it really, I think, gives our professionals around the globe a leg up.
How do you guys think about having all those different brands under the same umbrella? You know, I mean, you're all competing with each other. I mean, it's, there's a handful of companies out there that, you know, that organize all these different subsidiaries to compete against each other. Sometimes it works out well, sometimes not. I mean, you're all duking it out in exactly the same markets. I mean, so how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to some degree, we are duking it out on the front line. You know, our real estate professionals are, head to head every single day with one another. I also say that, you know, our industry is a little bit different because, you know, it's really where you have two competitive companies and agents coming together, right? But they're trying to work towards the common good for the client in order to close out a transaction, right? That's really what their job, their fiduciary.
Well, I guess if you're on both sides of the transaction, that and do they have to disclose that it's the same parent company in those transactions? Because it's not the same company.
Yeah, no.
That's not a problem, right?
Because they're all independently owned and operated for the most part, except obviously our larger brokerage. So, there's different nuances and different rules in different states. But, you know, for the most part, the fact that they're under the Realogy umbrella has nothing to do with it because the brokerages and those entities at the local level are owned separately.
Yeah,
But, you know, look, I mean... Century 21, we serve the what I would call the kind of meat of the marketplace, anywhere from 75% to 125% of the median sales price in a market. That's really where a majority of our business is. Where, as an example, a company like Sotheby's, they're going to serve a little bit of the higher end, right? They're generally 1.5 to 2 times the median sales price. And so, you know, each one of our brands has somewhat of its own lane in the customer they serve and the agent that they're trying to attract. But look, it's good, healthy competition. But being part of the Realogy umbrella really provides you, like I said, a kind of a leverage and a scale that you can't get anywhere else. So as an example, like, you know, we have master agreements with some of the largest providers in the country, whether they be cell phone carriers or technologies that we could get as a Realogy because of our buying power that other companies just like they wouldn't be able to do. And so that's the power of being part of a company like Realogy.
So that's a benefit when somebody joins one of your companies, they get the benefit of those contracts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's an awesome thing. And that, the forethought of taking all these little, the herding cats thing, all these individual people, organize them into franchises, and then combining those into something where you could actually have some money to advertise, which is the whole basis of capitalism, is pooling capital together. That was very visionary 50 years ago.
Completely.
We kind of forget where we are. But, 1970 was a long time ago.
And the industry was completely different, right? I mean, it was amazing that Marsh Fisher and Art Bartlett down there in Orange County had this vision and were able to pull it off. And, what's really cool is that I've had some of their descendants and family members, write to us and say, hey, like, we'd really love to get together and celebrate. And, hopefully if this pandemic, I believe by, early spring or beginning of summer, we're going to have this thing under control and get back to some normalcy. But we plan on having a really big celebration and really kind of heralding our founders and what they've been able to build, not just, like I said, not just here in the U.S., but around the globe.
I've been a fan of Marsh Fisher for a different reason, not because of Century 21, but because of the program Idea Fisher. Do you remember that program?
I don't actually.
Oh, it's a discussion for a different time, okay, but created this extraordinary software program that I used for years. It was extraordinary. It was a brainstorming program, and it sort of just died. Some guy that I know bought the rights, but it never really got reinvigorated the same way that he had it going.
So, I gotta look into that. That's cool. That guy was an amazing entrepreneur.
Absolutely. Well, you clearly are an amazing executive, and you've done a wonderful job with your company. And I just have really enjoyed having you share some of your thoughts and the inside track on really, what the best agents in your business are doing and what it takes for them to be the best agent in their businesses. And I hope that a lot of your agents will listen to what you have to say, because it's worth it.
Yeah, Joel, I really appreciate you having me on your podcast with Bullseye Capital today. I wish you guys a healthy holiday season and an amazing new year. Good luck to you guys in 2021.
Well, listen, man, thank you very much. Thanks for being on the show.
You got it, Joel.
You've been listening to Profit from the Inside with Joel Block. For more insights and to learn more, visit joelblock.com.
How about a shout out and a huge thanks to our podcast show producer, David Wolf, and the team at Autovita Studios. Profit from the Inside wouldn't be possible without these wonderful professionals. To learn more or to find out how you can launch and produce your own podcast show, reach out to www.audivita.com. That's audivita.com.